I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
This is the North Carolina Theater Story Show. I'm your host, Lynn Pryor. James Johnson is our technical director. We're coming to you from a 100-year-old house, the former home of the Gilbert Theater here in historic Haymont in Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is show number 5. Today's guest is Justin Moore. Justin is a New York-based actor who is currently appearing in the Gilbert Theater's production of the Book Club play. Welcome, Justin.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Now, Justin, we were just listening to our wonderful theme music, Longing to Be on Old Broadway. Now, I know you live in New York, and so this hard doesn't apply to you, but it still does. But I don't think you're on the old red, big white way yet, are you?
No.
No, but that day is coming. If you could be doing anything in the Great White Way or off the Great White Way, what would it be? Acting, directing play, having your play produced?
Definitely acting would be number one. Not much of a director, but I'd say, yeah, most definitely acting. I mean, there's a lot of shows that I would,
What would you like to?
I would love to do, I've always wanted to do Brick and Cat in a Hot Tin Roof. I auditioned for it years ago, but they said I was too young at the time. But it's definitely, I know they just did a revival of it.
Yeah, but, you'd be terrific.
Yeah, I would love to play Brick. That'd be great.
You certainly would. Our guest last week, without hesitation, said, I want to be the lead in The Iceman Cometh. And I could see him doing that, too. That was Evan Bridenstine. So, well, you know what? Now, I read in your bio, Justin, that you've done some improv.
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see that red box in front of you.
I do.
Mm-hmm. In a moment, you are going to open it. Not yet.
Okay.
In a moment, you're going to open it, and you're going. You could find anything. You could find a postage stamp. You could find a rock or severed ear. Anything. You have to then take it out. Then you're going to describe it to our listeners very briefly.
Okay.
And then you're going to tell us a story about it. Either made up or true or a combination.
Okay.
Not very long. This is a 30-minute show. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Open the red box.
All right. Oh.
And you find...
I believe it is a perfume holder in the shape of the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, the story of this is... About 10 years ago, I was in a very committed relationship with a young lady named Mary, and she and I took a trip to Paris. And I was thinking about getting her something super fancy, but, you know, at the time I didn't have a lot of money. So we were taking a stroll through Paris, and I was like, well, let's go to the Eiffel Tower. And I realized that along the way, I did not have my wallet with me. So, I could not get us to the Eiffel Tower in time, and it began to rain. So, and I'm not proud of this, but we were going past a little souvenir shop, and, you know, very deftly, I swiped this little ornament. Eiffel Tower, and when we broke up, she kind of just chucked it at me and said that she never really got to go up on the Eiffel Tower. It was a very sad story.
Oh, well, it is a sad story, and I'm sure part of that is true, but I can't believe you. Oh, you'd be pilfering something. All right, very good. That gets us off to a good start this today, Justin. Now, Justin, let's talk about the book club play.
Okay.
We've had, you have 1 weekend under your belt.
Yes.
And I've already seen it twice, loved it. I didn't know much about it. I just knew that this was a play that's being done here and there around the country. And had you been in it elsewhere?
No, I have not.
So how did you hear about it?
Robin Parrish, the artistic director of the Gilbert Theater, she and I are old friends. And she mentioned to me and sent me the script and told me what character she had me, that she was interested in me playing. And I read the script and I really liked the character and I thought there was a lot I could do with it. So I agreed to do it.
There it is. Well, book club, it's the story of a book club, a very dysfunctional book club. And you are the one, there is this kind of this status quo is established, and then you enter after some minutes.
Yes.
Really uninvited by the hostess,
right.
The person who has organized this book club years ago. People were not too happy to see you.
No, they were not. It's also because they are, this particular book club was being, they're part of a documentary by a famous documentarian who is
Michael
a renowned
Moore.
Director. And because of that, it has already has this tight group is already kind of on edge because, you know, they're somewhat putting on airs for the documentary to be their better selves, to make themselves look good on
they're
in
trying,
the documentary.
They're trying to ignore it, but they can't help
but
themselves.
But they're still...
They're posing and they're...
Absolutely.
And it's things are start falling apart. Well, you won't say any more.
I will not.
It's just wonderful. Two more weekends, Friday evening at 8, Saturday matinee and evening, mm-hmm. and Sunday matinee. I'm going to go several more times. It's highly entertaining. And I walked out the first evening with several book clubbers pulling at my arm, saying, oh, we're in a book club, and this is so true. And there's one person who all he can talk about is the length of the book. Well, this has 400 pages. I don't think we should do it. You know, that sort of thing.
Right.
So whoever, this woman, Karen Zacharias, who wrote this play, certainly has been in many a book club and knows what she's talking about. Now you're one of the few people, well, once in a while we'll have somebody here on our show or here in the old theater, living downstairs. You know, we are in the theater. This is a theater, the original Gilbert Theater, started here 21 years ago, Justin. But anyway, you were one of the few people we've had here who is actually living in New York and working in New York. Now, how have you found work? And that can include non-theater work, too, by all means. But what can you say to young actors listening to our podcast about things that you found that worked and didn't work?
I would say the things that that worked the best for me is playbill.com is a very good website that has listings for equity and non-equity people. That's mostly just for theater. It's also great for if you're looking for to be involved in theater in any aspect, whether it's, you know, actor, director, sound, lighting. Playbill lists jobs for every aspect of theater there is. It also lists jobs at actual theaters as, like, internships, if you want to get involved that way. It also have, any kind of job you can get at in and around the theater is listed on Playbill. For acting jobs that I've gotten personally, I've gotten them through Playbill, and also there's Actors Access. Actors Access is a website that you can upload your headshot, your resume, and pretty much like an online profile through their website, and they send you emails anytime there's a character that fits your description.
Oh my God.
Or age range.
Wow.
I have gotten so many auditions from there. It's also, if you buy ShowFax, it costs $68 a year. Because every time you submit on Actors Access, you get charged $2 for everything you submit for. But if you buy the ShowFax, which is $68 a year, which is nothing, you can submit as much as you want for free. So for $68, I can submit 10 times a day for all year, and I only have to pay $68. That's also a good one.
They're sponsors on the show, right?
Yeah. They should be. I've gotten commercials work that way. I've got the first three shows I did in New York were through Actors Access and finding auditions. And You know, when you get involved in a show, I just say, especially if you're first starting out in New York, get with the people who are in charge of the production. Like get with the people, whatever theater you did it for, you know, just be awesome and just make friends with everybody. Because I'm all my friends in New York right now, like my closest friends, I met during that first production that I did. Uh-huh. And I found work through them. Like the woman I worked for, Blowout Theater Company, and Carrie Kasten, who was one of the founders and producers of Blowout, she played my wife in the show, and she knew that one of her friends, a director, needed someone for another show, and she's like, can I send him your resume? And I was like, yeah. So I got cast another show because of her. Mm-hmm. So it's about networking, too. So just, you know, I was fun to work with, and they enjoyed my work, so networking is huge.
Well, now, what about practical things? What about housing?
Housing, okay. Housing in New York. I moved there with my then-girlfriend, and I will say that going through a broker in Manhattan is a nightmare. You definitely want to have some money saved before you go there, because it's going to be really expensive, especially if you don't know what neighborhoods are... if you don't know any of the neighborhoods, then you need to do research before you go, and you need to talk to anybody you know that lives in New York. Luckily, I had a friend who had been there for 12 years who gave us some advice, and she housed us for a night while we were in the process of moving all of our stuff. Because I moved from Pittsburgh, which is a 6.5-hour drive, and when you're driving a truck like that, a moving truck, it's about 7.5 hours.
Yes.
So, and then there's no place to park a truck that big.
Yeah.
So, I'm very lucky that I had friends who were already living in New York, and she helped us move in, and she helped us both find jobs as well.
This is
another thing. Yeah. So I got lucky in that aspect of having someone who knew her way around the city, having lived there for 12 years and knowing the ins and outs in different neighborhoods.
Well, marvelous to have those kinds of contacts and friends. What about transportation?
Oh, transportation is great. The subway, I mean, it's like anywhere. There's construction sometimes and there's delays, but the trains are, I'd say, mostly very reliable. I mean, I now live in Astoria, Queens, and it takes me 20 minutes to get Midtown. So it's no problem whatsoever. I love public transportation. It's one of the reasons why I moved to New York, because I was tired of driving everywhere. But public transportation in New York is great.
Well, so, and then when things get a little bit thin, I hear you bartend.
Yes. A lot of restaurants, because it's New York and there are so many people in that industry, most restaurants you work at are very accommodating to when you are in shows. Like, I've never had a problem taking off time at work or switching shifts because of the place that I work. Uh-huh. They're very good about most places you work, restaurant-wise, they understand, and they know that your career is important. But if you're a good worker, they're going to ask you to come back.
I see. Well, this has been a kind of anatomy of success. So you're getting quite a bit of work, aren't you?
I'm doing okay. I kind of slowed down a little bit. But like I said, I actually have a sketch comedy group that I work with. And we are just commissioned by BarkPost to do a web series. So we're two of our writers are working on that right now. So we're in pre-production.
I see.
We also have been trying to get funding to do a script that two of our members wrote. So
the web has just increased the possibility for jobs all over the place.
Right? Oh, yes. Definitely.
I read somewhere, I find this hard to believe, but I know this is true, that in the United States, 1 in 5 jobs, 20%, have something to do with showbiz, whether it's commercials or... I'm saying that now, I think that can't be true, and yet I've heard that it is true. But so there is, it's a huge, for those of you who want to go into this crazy profession, there's a lot of work out there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Justin. Now, are you ready with your sonnet? Something I ask all our guests to do is a Shakespearean sonnet, and taking out your smartphone and finding one, and I hope that you have been practicing.
Oh yeah, I was doing it all day today. All right, I haven't done Shakespeare in a while, so you're gonna have to bear with me.
Just as a train comes through.
Yeah. Should I wait for the train?
The train. Let me just say one thing about the train.
Okay.
And by the time I finish talking about it, it may be past. The train has been the bane of our existence here for 20 years, particularly with garden shows. Mm-hmm. We're out there, 120 people sitting in the Gilbert Garden, and we're doing Shakespeare, we're doing a children's play or whatever, and then suddenly there's the train. And some of those engineers would lay on the train horn from Lumberton to Dunn, I swear. And sometimes we would stop the play, other times we would just go ahead. But I think it's past now, so you're on.
All right. Is it thy will thy image should keep open my heavy eyelids to the weary night? Dost thou desire my slumber should be broken, while shadows like to thee do mock my sight? Is it thy spirit that thou sendest from thee so far from home into my deeds to pry, to find out shames and idle hours in me, the scope and tenor of thy jealousy? Oh no, thy love, though much, is not so great. It is my love that keeps mine eye awake, mine own true love that doth my rest defeat, to play the watchman ever for thy sake. For thee watch I, whilst thou dost wake elsewhere, from me far off, with others all too near.
Very nice. Thank you. And Mary, a woman sitting here listening to that, and she is wiping away a tear. Thank you, Justin. Now, Justin, earlier this evening, before we started taping, you and I were just chit-chatting about this and that, and you were sharing with me, but you've occasionally through the years, you've had a director or two who's gotten up. Now, you're one who likes to be helpful to other actors.
Yes.
And occasionally, directors find out somehow or other that you are directing others. I know that people are going to be taking this all in good spirit, but so I thought this we should kind of get you some help from another level. That Saint Genesius is the patron saint of the theater in general, of actors. So on occasion when I've been in a tight spot, I've appealed to her on with a problem and gotten a wonderful response. So I have been thinking about you and all the other actors out there who have been mischaracterized about what is truly helpful. And here's what I wrote to her. Dear Saint Genesius, please guide your humble player, Justin, to understand that it is perfectly all right for one actor to direct another actor in their play. A good place for this help might be while standing at a urinal next to a struggling newcomer. This is just the time to suggest those small changes in blocking you know will get you down center at last. Or perhaps on a line reading that has been bothering you. This is all for the good of the play, of course. And after all, in Shakespeare's time, there was no such thing as a director. Who needs him? Your humble supplicant, Lynn. Justin, I hope this is going to be helpful. We try to be helpful in our show, and there it is. Now, it's time for our game. We have a quiz or a game every week, and I have been refreshing your mind as well as technical director James. James, I wish you'd stop clipping your nails in the middle of our show. I just have to call your mother. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, this distraction I don't need because it's a lot big responsibility running a show, I'd like you to cooperate if you possibly could. Now, we're going to play charades, and you told me earlier that it's been a while. So we reviewed the rules.
Yes.
And first thing, all of these are going to be plays or musicals.
Okay.
You know, when you play charades, I used to always call it the game. And, you know, there was the song, it was the movie and the book. But no, these are all plays or musicals. One or two or three words. So when we get started, and James is going to keep score, there are ten plays to identify.
Okay.
If you get a certain number right, you get a fabulous book. It's called, by Salmon Kalou, or one of our favorite Brits, On Being an Actor, the most honest book ever written about us all, says Ian McCallum. In fact, I bought it with you in mind, then began skimming it, then began, I so frequently do this, I don't want to give the book up, but I'm going to. but only if you get a certain number right,
okay,
then you get the prize. All right, James, are you clear? Were you listening at all about, I hope you were. Okay, now I'm...
And for the toenail...
No, just don't, that's too unpleasant to talk about. Just forget it. Just don't do it again, please. All right, now, in a minute, I'm going to go silent, which will be probably a joy to our audience. And James is, in a sotto voce, James is going to describe what I'm doing. This is why people who are turning off our podcast, because they said, what's going on? Charades on radio? But no, we're going to do it. And then you have to be very verbal. And did I do this part of it?
It means little. Or small little, word.
Small word.
Yes.
And so you know the rules, and you'll start going like this. If you don't get it, this is only fairly soon. This is a 30-minute show. I'm afraid we're going to have to scratch that one.
Okay.
And you have started a downward spiral. But nevertheless, I'm sure that's not going to happen. James, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, and you're ready. All right.
All right. Now we're going to start with two words.
First word. Two syllables.
Lynn is holding his head. Seems to be
headache.
Pain. Second word.
Two words.
He's working on the second syllable. No, two words.
Second word?
Second word. Okay.
One syllable.
Brushing off. He's brushing off his arm.
Noises off.
Yes, noises off. Good.
Wow. Okay. Nice. One word. He's
three syllables. First syllable. But
he's pointing at his derriere.
Ass.
Okay. This is getting dirty.
Okay.
He seems to be
firing
a weapon. So this is a whole word he's representing.
This is one word.
He's being stabbed. He's being shot in the head.
It's one word. It's a murder. That's only one word. Kill. Murder. No, it doesn't go with.
Lynn seems lost. Now he's putting a crown on his head, and he's getting shot in the head. He's being shot in the back of the head.
Okay, wait. No. What's the third syllable?
Third syllable. Okay.
Small.
Small
syllable.
Swimming.
In.
He's swimming.
In.
Swimming. Lynn is stabbing himself.
Okay.
I guess he's moving on to the second word. Okay. Two words. First word.
Assassins.
Okay, the assassins. Noises off and assassins. So he's got two right now. We're on to the second word. Okay.
So two...
Second, what?
Two words. Right.
First word.
Small.
All right.
The.
All right.
The.
he seems to be shaving.
Fan.
Okay.
The fan. The Fantastics.
Wow. Okay. Man, I'm glad I've never played this before.
Okay. Four words.
Four words.
First word.
First word.
Small word.
Small word.
The. Second word.
Hammering something. Putting something in a drink. Okay, he's hammering something and putting something in a cup and just drinking
the...
it. He's cold. He's putting something in his cup.
The medicine. The pill.
Okay, he's hammering.
The apothecary. Third word.
Third word. He's putting it himself. And...
Man. The...
Okay. Fourth word.
The blank man cometh. Oh, the Iceman cometh.
Okay. If the Iceman cometh.
One word. Three syllables. First syllable.
He's pointing out to somewhere. He's just pointing
out. Look.
He sees something and he's pointing and he's...
View.
He's getting in a car. He's pointing out.
Taxi. Cab.
Okay.
The first word's cab. Or cab is the first...
syllable.
Cab is the first syllable.
Cab is the
first
syllable.
Cab is the first syllable.
Okay, he's acting out the whole word now. He's sitting in a fancy way. Cab. Seems to be... he might be singing... He's vamping. He's...
Cabaret.
Okay, that's great.
How did I not get that word? I don't know. It should not take me that long to get it. All right, two words. Right. First word.
All right.
Boy. Small. Small boy. Or child. Kid. Old.
Okay, he's gesturing as if something is shorter than him.
Wait.
Okay. He's gesturing.
Baby.
Now he's acting like he is a baby.
Okay.
And now he's moving on.
Okay, two words.
Second word. First syllable.
But two words is the whole story.
Whole thing. Okay.
Frankenstein. Okay. Young Frankenstein.
Okay, we got that one.
One word.
Wait. And he's Doubt. Praying. He's
priest.
Doing a prayer.
Minister.
He's...
Oh, nonsense.
Okay. I want to point out to the listeners that Lynn just gestured to his bosom. Formed a bosom.
Yes. Well, yes. He crossed himself. Then. Four words. First word.
First word.
Two syllables.
He's taking off his shoe.
Foot.
And okay, he's
Footloose. Sorry.
And he's wiping his foot.
Four words. First one is foot. No, it's not. Ankle. Shoe.
He's
shoeless. Four words.
He's
fourth word.
For the fourth word.
One syllable.
Okay. He's strolling, and he's...
Strolling. Stroll.
Lynn is rubbing the wall. The wall has a painting of a tree on it.
Barefoot in the park.
Wow, that okay. That was... Wow, impressive.
Three words. Okay. First word. Small. The... Third word. One syllable.
Lynn is behaving like some sort of...
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Or he's got bad posture.
The ape.
He's got his hand. Okay.
The second word. Hair.
He's pointing at his
hair.
Okay. He's acting as if he's stringing out pasta, or he's lengthening something.
The hair,
he's
acting like a monkey. It's the hair, straight hair. The hair.
Okay, he's doing the thing where he's stretching something out.
Yeah, no, I don't know what that means. Stretch. Oh, the hair.
Okay, he's.
I was so bad at this.
Are we moving?
Okay,
moving on. So that one's a wrong right
in
now.
In like three words.
Okay, three words. This one might be. Okay.
Three words. Third word. Two syllables.
Okay, he's representing the whole thing. He's writing. He's acting right. Like he's writing.
Left arm.
This
left.
Left arm.
Left arm.
Okay. Lynn overestimated the popularity of the show.
First word.
Lynn is
two syllables.
And is checking the time. He's staring off and checking the time. He's looking at the distance. He's patiently pacing.
Late. Later.
Lynn has resigned himself. Now
two words. Or second word.
Second word.
Small.
Small.
The. A. It. Is. On. In.
Waving on.
Okay, our time is up.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, you did very well, very well. The earlier one was the hairy ape.
The hairy, I don't know that one at all.
And Eugene O'Neill. The second one, Clifford Odets, Waiting for Lefty.
Oh.
Writing with my left.
Okay.
Hand. Anyway, didn't he do very well, James? How many,
yeah,
did, how many
got,
did he get right?
You get 8 right out of 10.
8 right. Unfortunately, you had to get 9 to get the book.
Oh, man.
Fine,
well, you know.
Fine.
Mary, by being mean about this.
Yes.
Okay. Mary insists that you take this book.
Okay. Thank
even
you.
Even though it was, this is very marginal. Well, there it is.
Get the hairy
you did,
sorry.
You did very, very well. All right. Now, you know, this is the time in our time together when we share books. I've asked Justin to bring a book to tell our audience that he's liked very much. And what is that book?
It's called True and False. It is by David Mamet, the playwright, who he's written many books on acting, and he started the Atlantic at Tisch School of the Arts at NYU with William H. Macy. David Mamet is, well, if you've ever read or seen any of his plays, he uses profanity a lot.
Not David fucking Mamet.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll censor myself there.
Yes. But Mamet has a very interesting... he wrote another book called Theater, which is just about his view of American theater right now. And that's a very interesting book as well. But the one that impacted me more was True and False, because basically David Mamet... by the way, if you're in a play right now and you have your own style of acting, whether it be, you know, Stanislavski, Method, whatever, Meisner, do not read this book. It will mess you up. It'll because you'll start to question every decision with character and line readings that you have ever been taught. Because David Mamet believes that you know, the words are there for a reason. You know, if you just say your line, you know, if you speak clearly and commit to the line that's written, then that's good enough. That you should be able to convey or create your character just based on what's written on the page.
Of course, he's a writer, so of course.
Well, absolutely, but like I kind of take what he said. It's a little bit like Meisner, which is, you know, Meisner believes that acting is the reality of doing, and his is more about, you know, what you're doing on stage physically, more than Mamet. But I really like this book because after I read it, I was like, wow. And he also believed that, you know, no matter how much you are taught in a classroom or how much training you have or how much money you spend on classes, nothing compares to the actual going on stage and doing a play all the time as much as possible.
The doing, yes.
The doing, actually just getting yourself on stage. I've met a ton of people who, you know, they started acting as a hobby, and I've seen them when they first started, and they have been awful. But years later, after they keep doing regional shows, and they keep getting cast, you know, and they just automatically get better throughout the years because they keep doing it. Yeah. And they just, you know, they're more natural on stage, they're more accustomed to being on stage, and they're more relaxed.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what I did when after college, I moved to Chicago, and then I moved back to Pittsburgh. And I was doing 5-6 shows a year for 6 years. And I learned more doing that than I did in 4 years of studying theater in college.
Well, yes, the doing, that's what acting is the doing, isn't it? I don't know if it's from that book. What's the title of the book again?
True and False.
True and False. I took a quote either from that book and put it on the wall in the green room down at the theater, and it was about his view on projection. He said, "You don't need microphones. You just, when I got such a good start in this whole craft in high school, and a wonderful drama teacher. All 4 years, she was had a master's in theater from Northwestern. It was a great, great way for me to get started. And our auditorium at the high school had seated 900, and I just learned what I didn't ever I never shouted, but people could hear me. And so anyway, I put that quote on the wall from David Mamet. I hope people read it. Terrific. Thank you for sharing that, Justin. The book I'm sharing is called How to Be a Working Actor, The Insider's Guide to Finding Jobs in Theater, Film, and Television. Includes internet marketing, and that's what we were talking about earlier. This is some of the chapter headings. What will you need to get started? Your money, arranging for credit, other necessities, which are all the things that you did when you first went to the Big Apple, the tools of the trade, the picture, your black and white, your resume, videotape, so on. Buyers and sellers, how to give it, choosing a talent agent, personal manager, so on. Looking for work, polishing your skills, knowing your field, knocking on doors. Cyber business. Getting your act together, hair, how to present yourself, your hair, your nails, everything. Surviving strategies. And anyway, this book goes on. We don't have time for me to go through all of this, but this is would be a very good one for any actor wanting to perhaps going to a bigger venue, our second city or our first city. Well, it's time for letters, Justin. We do this every time we're together. Call it the mailbox. And so let's see what I found in the mailbox today. Now, James, not much in the mailbox this week, except showbiz types keep asking me to be on my show. This is fine, but I must speak frankly. Not everyone is qualified to be on my show. Just because you played George in Our Town in high school in 1951 does not impress me. Nor does a small part in Phantom 20 years ago mean much. Standards are high here, Justin, I'm sorry. But do keep listening, and maybe you'll learn something. That's about it for the mailbox this week, folks. Keep those cards, comments, letters, and tweets coming. See how helpful our show is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now we go to birthdays. We have one birthday of a celebrated person. Cole Porter, the composer of our theme song, was born on this day in 1891. Now let's, what we call Callboard, Justin. We're going to talk about the plays in the region. And now, right now, let's repeat. Would you repeat what's happening at the Gilbert?
Right now, the book club play that I am in is playing this weekend, Friday at 8 o'clock, Saturday at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., and Sunday at 2 p.m. And then the same schedule for the following week.
So we have 8 more opportunities to see this wonderful comedy. James, you are in a play at Fayetteville Tech.
The Water Engine by David Mamet. The
Well, I know it has a wonderful cast. Some of the creme de la creme of the region are in this play.
Yes, not nearly the amount of swearing that one would think.
Okay. Not like Larry Glenn Ross.
Yeah, this was a pretty early play of his. But Paul Wilson, James Dean, Patty Cucco. It's just an amazing cast. Claudia Farga. I'm always bad at pronouncing her last name.
Varga, and who is who, and it opens limited run.
It is running from the 19th to the 28th.
So it's two weekends.
Two weekends.
They're on the campus at their auditorium there. Mm. I know Sweet Tea Shakespeare, our local Shakespeare company, is doing Cherry Orchard. It opens on the 11th, runs through the 21st, and Justin, this is a company that has been performing in our botanical garden, but now it's in our museum house on the hill here. It's a turn of this 20th century house, and they're using the back garden, and it's a wonderful old Victorian house, and so we'll be seeing the Cherry Orchard. I'm glad that there won't be too many conflicts with dates. That's our call board.
On June 6th, the CFRT is doing their Blues and Brews fundraiser.
Oh, yes, that's right. And so we also wanted, James, to start including when auditions are happening. Mm-hmm. We haven't been doing that much. But I think it's time for me to raise the gong and ring the gong and say, this is Lynn Pryor asking James to dim the lights and go to black. Well, I urge you all to find a play to see this week. So until next Thursday, thank you for your company.
For I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all